Hello.
I think
Hello.
he's here. We can all see him.
Now he said he's
Yeah,
here.
I couldn't hear
Okay.
you, but
I will. We will all validate for
I can't
that.
hear him. I mean, he's
Well,
just
he's here for the
here now.
he's here for the role. So let's go forward in that role.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Nguyen?
Here.
Director Amezcua? Director Tran?
Here.
Director Wigand?
Here.
Director Bilodeau?
Present.
You do have a quorum of your committee.
Thank you. Bruce, do we have any items received too late to be agendized?
No, sir, there are none.
Great. Our next item on the agenda is the visitor participation. Are there any members of the public that would like to comment to the committee? Hey, I don't hear any. I don't see any. I'll move on to the next item, which is our consent.
So moved.
Is there a motion on consent?
So moved.
Thank you. Is there a
Second.
second?
Do a second.
Great. So, motion by Director Green and second by Director Meeks. Please take the roll.
Roll call, Director Sheldon.
Yes.
Director Meeks.
Yes.
Director Jung.
Aye.
Director Yeo.
Yes.
Director Green.
Yes.
That motion carries with 5 yes votes.
Thank you. Our next item is our matters for consideration. We have an exciting one coming up, and I'll hand it off to Bruce.
Okay, thank you, Chair Sheldon. This is a little hybrid of the monthly update on the Imperial Highway property. At the last property committee meeting, the committee had requested to bring it next time we come, the committee meets again to discuss it in a little broader terms in terms of other approaches, other options we might have with the property. Let me start off by saying, though, that the board had given staff direction to hire an engineering firm to do a traffic study. So we did find one, Dudek. I included the proposal in the staff report. The proposal is to do a geometric design of access from Imperial Highway and then do conceptual traffic study based on that type of access. I have not given Dudek the go-ahead on this yet. I did have directors Bilodeau and Sheldon on a call to talk about the scope of work. Unless there's some different direction today or objection, I'm going to move forward with it. That was the board's direction. However, the last committee meeting, the committee had asked to talk and about other options for the property, and I believe one of them was maybe to go out to RFQ on the property. So I'm going to end my part of the report on that and give it back to the chair.
Any questions for Bruce?
Good question.
Just now.
I kind of want to understand what we're trying to accomplish here. Are we looking to sell the property or do a long-term lease on the property or a short-term lease on it?
I think. Are you asking me, or is that going to the chair?
What does staff think they're doing?
I think we're
Let me
giving
jump
the
in for a
option.
second, Bruce, if I may. And I'll, of course, let Bruce answer for himself. I believe we're not at the point to make that decision yet. I think we're trying to get it teed up. I think that's a decision we'll make once we see what we have.
Okay.
Because what we have will determine what users are available.
Because I mean, this process started before I was on the board, so that's a piece of it that I'm familiar with. Wanted to kind of understand how we got to where we are. But I mean, I've been on this board for over 2 years now, and we really haven't made much progress. And we've continued to kind of hire engineers to find solutions that don't work or won't be approved by Caltrans. And so I am thinking that, let's pause for a minute before we keep spending money. And what are our objectives? What's feasible? And do we go out with an RFI or something to let the community, the developers or whatever, solve the problem rather than us try to continue to throw money at solutions that don't work? And I mean, everyone's clear on my opinion that you can't mess up that interchange there. It is one of the busiest interchanges ever along the, you know, busiest corridor in the county, one of the busiest in the nation on the 91 freeway. And, you know, what we do there matters to a lot more people than just the people that might access this site. So I have concerns over trying to force something in there. So that's kind of where I'm at here.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, I think we could do some things that won't cost us a dime. There are some folks that are experienced in this kind of scope of work and the location. I'd inquire with OCTA. They've been good partners with us before, and ask them what they do on their surplus land in areas like that. They've got a lot of it throughout the county. They utilize it in various ways. Just having some sort of idea what they do with that may give us some direction on what we do. Any thoughts?
I mean, yes, staff can do that.
Maybe it wouldn't cost us anything to place a call.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if we do, if we are contemplating a long-term lease or selling the property, then there's the whole Surplus Land Act issue that will be another hurdle for us to get over.
Yes.
Where a short-term lease or, you know, another nursery use or, you know, something doesn't have that hurdle.
What do we have as annual cost to the site just having it vacant?
I don't.
Fencing and
yeah,
going
but annual
out
cost
to here.
is when security goes out there, but and then there's probably staff maintenance so that it doesn't get overgrown. I'm sure the operations staff may go out there occasionally. I don't know exactly when or how often, but there's some minimal cost at this point.
I just it's selling to me. I'm not a big believer of selling land that anyone owns, cities, school districts,
Okay.
the special districts. So we're going to do something, I think, of a lease, but there's a really high value for it. Selling may be an option, but at this point, want to make sure we protect the assets that we have.
So we've first.
Mr. Chairman, may I speak?
Of course, yes.
Yeah, I wanted to address Director Meek's inquiry. And I agree with you, Mr. Chairman, that we're not at that point yet to make a decision on what we're going to do with the property. I think where we're at is we need to understand if we can develop access, because at this point, the property is virtually worthless without access. And I know that it's a frustrating journey to develop that access. I would just say that I'm sort of used to it because we've had a number of, I have a list as long as my arm of frustrating projects we've dealt with in Anaheim, unfortunately. And we were frustrated by either the city or the Chamber of Commerce, as you know. And I would think the city would embrace us in trying to put this property back into productive use. And put it on the tax rolls and generate sales tax, but unfortunately that's not the case. But nevertheless, I think first things first, we have to try to spend the least amount of money as possible trying to establish if we can get some kind of access to the property. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
So, yeah, I think to add some background to our new members. So we've it does take a long time on many properties. Unfortunately, we have government working with government, and it's not the fastest way. But you know, we had to delineate what land we had, where the parcels were, what was what. That takes time to do that with a civil engineer. It would be inappropriate to not do that, and it takes time. Now we're looking at access to it, which is, I think, key to the value. So, you know, this will, if successful, will generate a significant amount of money. And when we go forward, we'll be paid back for these costs as we, in the RFP process by whoever is the successful bidder. I think just as owners and stewards of it, we have an obligation to try to get the highest and best value, or at least know what it is if we're going to seek that. And this is a critical part of it, is access. every project has an issue. It's if it was easy, it would have been done already. That's the saying. So we've just got to go through these steps and see what we can get, and then make a decision there. I don't think we've completed our investigation process yet. It's taken longer than I want, but I know we have other things that have taken a lot longer. So I would encourage that we do the study as to act geometric study, which means, you know, what is the right, how do you engineer the access correctly that all the cars move smoothly. Whether Caltrans accepts that from their point of view is another issue. We have to work on that as well. Caltrans says no to everybody on everything unless they want something, and then they want everything. That's their mode of operation there, from my experience. So we'll be a good partner with them. And so those are kind of a summary of what we've been doing on this. I don't know if any other comments or thoughts. We didn't want to make a motion. We want to change this. You know, this is a democracy here, and we can change anything we want. But that's my feeling.
So the current proposal from DUDEC, does that include scope of costs for these geometric designs? I anticipate it will be widening the Imperial Bridge, and because we already looked at a new bridge across. You know, which I don't have a problem with. That doesn't negatively impact the interchange, but that's very expensive. So widening the Imperial Bridge, that's very expensive
yes.
too.
Yes.
So they do have a scope of cost.
They would. That's what they would develop. Well, I don't know if they would develop the actual cost. This is a very limited scope because of the price for how much I'm authorized to spend. So it's very limited to doing geometric design of. I believe two options, access options from Imperial Highway. And then they'll do a preliminary cost estimate as well for each of the options. So I guess the answer is yes to your question, but okay. Really to a limited scope. It's not a full.
I'm just talking kind of.
Right.
Range of value type stuff, I'm going to estimate the
cost. Yes, yes.
If I could say, I don't know if that's their expertise in their wheelhouse. In my experience, the civil engineers, the traffic engineers, they present the plans, they have an idea, but they're not bidding these out on a regular basis to know what the real costs are. There's private companies that provide that service for private development. For this type of public, I think we would maybe even look the OCTA, as our director had mentioned, because they are in the business, they are frequently bidding out this kind of work, and somebody somewhere in that organization would know how those bids came in most recently for these costs. I don't know if that's an entity like that knows this would be the type of entity to go to, because they're getting current bids and they know the numbers. I don't think DUDEC doesn't do that. They'll give us something.
They're partnering with a traffic engineering firm.
Well, in my experience, civil engineering firms don't give really good cost estimates. In my experience, I think companies that specialize in that do. So,
and again, this is just to develop that we can meet with Caltrans.
That's more. This is not for cost estimating. This because costs are going to change in 3 years or 5 years. This is for design.
Yeah, and Mr. Chairman, I don't envision that we ever build anything. We just got to get to the point we know there's a viable solution, and then we're going to put out an RFP to see who wants to come and, occupy the property.
I think Director Meech's comment was related to if they come up and propose a Taj Mahal and it can never get built, then it's not worth very much. I think that was your point, that we wanted to see what it costs to implement.
If we are going to create this answer to access that may or may not be feasible to the developers. They may have some other need or more access or different access. And so they're going to create their own design if somebody comes in with this, to develop this property as part of that development. I'm questioning why are we going down that road? I can see just to be able to say something is feasible. But how much value does that have if the developer has to create sending
now,
those documents anyways.
Correct you that in all, with all due respect, that's not correct. We do know what we think their average daily trips are going to be based upon the traffic engineering manuals. So we know that a massive shopping center would generate this.
And,
so yeah, we being proposed.
No, but we know, but
shopping,
we know,
whatever.
But, yeah, well, but we do know generally what could be there. So I think we do. That's not, we're not, we're cognitive of what you just said, and it will be baked into what is being designed.
I think, and you know, Mr. Chairman, I think we got to recognize the fact that, you know, Voight has had this on the market for over a year, and we've gotten no bites because no one's willing to take on this challenge of figuring out the access. So I think we've got to sort of solve that problem conceptually first. Then I think we will get more interested parties.
Okay. Does this item take any action, or what?
Only if there was a motion. If there was a motion,
but does a staff report require?
Yep. Nope. It's direct staff.
Okay. Okay. To because that was go to the. To go to the board or something, wasn't
well,
it?
Just if there
you
was,
already have approval from today.
We have approval
for the engineer, but we don't. It's in case there was some additional direction from the board or from the committee that needed to go to the board.
Does anyone want to make a motion to make additional or contrary direction as hiring this as hiring Dudek?
And what's the value of the Dudek?
It is $20,000. And let me just say, when we had the agreement with Adam Streeter, which was. I was $70,000+. However, we did not spend about $17,000 of it. So it's a wash from that, or almost a wash. But
all right. I will support going through this next step, but I'm more inclined to let the
We could have easily
spent $150,000 on this, but I'm very cheap.
this
is very limited.
I don't think it needs any action.
It's the consensus of the board to go forward on this.
Yeah.
It doesn't require any
correct
vote on this.
Great.
And you took notes for Director Jean.
Yes.
I think that's great. Yes.
So let's go to our next item, please.
And then the next item is an informational item. It's a status update on the City of Anaheim's proposed OC Riverwalk project. And J.J. Jimenez from the City of Anaheim is here to talk it through. And I have his presentation that I'll pull up on the screen.
You like that?
I can stand it. That's okay.
Okay.
You're welcome to sit.
We're a lot of fun here.
To sit here, too.
We're a lot of fun. See?
You are a lot of I'm going to take it.
Sure. Thank you, Bruce. Thank you, Chair Sheldon and Vice Chair Meeks and other directors for allowing us or requesting an update on this project. It's been a while since I came to this body to provide an update, almost a year. And since then, we have some exciting progress to share with you. And then since then, you also have added a couple members to this body. So as part of my update, I'm going to provide a very brief overview of the project for their benefit. Apologies in advance to those that have heard me say this. And so I'll be as brief as possible. And so so let us get started. The OC Riverwalk project, in our definition and in our view, it's a transformative project that is going to be implemented over a long period or multiple years that is going to take a lot of partners to achieve. But when completed, it will generate lots of benefits. Here is maybe... Well,
you're all done. Thank you.
That's the update. I love technology.
Maybe we.
Here we go.
Let's use the other
user error again. So thank you, and I apologize for that. So. Here, and moving on to the next page, here's more or less. I'm going to spend the next few minutes with you. I'm going to start by sort of giving you a very, very brief history of similar project that we completed together. Then we'll move into the OC Riverwalk project overview, provide you current status of the project, and then I'll end the next steps and then opportunity for questions. Bruce, where do the arrows go? There. You got it. There, yeah. Here we go. Okay. City of Anaheim Water District, lots of history, very rich history, collaborating together, mostly around water. Water capture and retention, infiltration, and ultimately delivery to our residents for drinking and then for watering our landscapes. But we've also, as agencies, partnered to develop spaces for recreation, spaces for habitat, spaces for connectivity. And such is one example here is Anaheim Copes, in which our agencies partnered together and created an amazing space. Here is some of the imagery of what it looked like before. Generally bounded to the south by Ball Road, right next to Islands Golf Course. This agency leads to a private operator. And then as you go north, goes all the way to Frontera, just south of the 91 freeway. This agency came together and desired to partner. And this is what we created together. 26 acres of a beautiful nature's park, all with habitat, recreation. There's connectivity for bicycles, for pedestrian trails. And then signage, interpretive signage that talks about a variety of things, including, the function of this body, the function of the water district, how people get their water. You'll see an image there on the bottom left that talks about the cycle of water and then the role of this agency towards that. As a summary, the city of Anaheim took the lead in securing grants to develop this space. It was mostly grant funded. And then we took the lead in design and construction with direction, of course, from this body and from staff. It was done over a couple of phases, as it is a very long area, and it was a big project. But at the end of that phase, we're always looking to what's next for us, what's next for our agencies, how can we continue to move forward? And that's where the OC Riverwalk project concept came up. And here is the location. So you'll note that the OC Riverwalk project starts at the south end of Anaheim Coast, just north of Ball Road. And then the project area goes all the way to Orangewood. And just for reference, in this area, as you move from north to south, you'll see the Honda Center, Arctic, which is the train station, and then Angel Stadium. And then everything that's going on there with the private sector by OC Vibe Development today. And I lost the arrows again, Bruce.
Up to the middle, it seems to come back. Closer up.
I didn't ask this. The committee to hold their questions or no, to ask you as we're going?
You can ask me questions as I'm going. Yes. So here's what the area looks like today. There, you'll note on two of these images, there is water. And that's mostly as a result of, either runoff from various tributaries that end up in this space. But the water, the retention that you see here is the result of your staff doing some temporary earthworms out there called TNLs. It's the last attempt to capture this water before it goes down to the ocean. And before it's water that is not captured or retained in the imperial impoundment that you operate, the water district operates just north of here. But for all purposes or intents and purposes, really, the area looks like the very left bottom image. Not a lot of water. It does have the Santa Ana Regional Bike Trail, but it also has other utilities, including the GWS line on the west side of the Santa Ana. Here's what it could look like. And so that's what the Riverwalk project could look like. So when completed, here I'm noting some of the benefits that the project could achieve for the various agencies noted here in the bottom left. Of particular interest to this body is, of course, water capture and retention, giving you operational flexibility for additional capacity for the GWS water that we have over in, that is being increased in production. So how do we get there? How do we get a Riverwalk project in place? How do we put water back in the river? How do we get this process? What's the process? from what we did in Anaheim, we did a, we approached it a little bit different. So we did a very extensive due diligence and through a, what is noted here on the top left, engineering feasibility study. And really the question that we wanted to answer, can there be a Riverwalk in this space? Can there be a Riverwalk like San Antonio, like Chicago, like DC? Can we also re-engage our river, turn our front doors to it? From an engineering perspective, and why has it not been done, right? Like what is, what's keeping it from being developed? And so at the end of this study, overwhelmingly, we found in conversations with landowners, with regulatory agencies, that it can. Yes, it can be done. You know, there it is a big project. It is a big undertaking. But from an engineering perspective, yes, it could be achieved. And then we did what generally Anaheim does next. We turned to our community. You know, here's an opportunity. Here's a space. What would take, and utilizing really fun taglines like the one you see here, is that what would take the community back to the river? What would, what, and when you get there, what would you want to do? Here's what they told us. It basically resulted in this master plan that you have in front of you. Again, bounded to the south, Orangewood to the north to Anaheim Coast. Along the path there where is, space allows, there's public plazas, parklets, there is, event space, and there's of course, as you see here now, water in the river created by these two semi-permanent impoundments, one here, noted here, and one just south of the 57th. And then our community also talked about connectivity. They wanted to better connect and safer connect the Santa Ana Regional Bike Trail through a dedicated multimodal bridge here just north of Catella. If you ever ridden the trail now, you'll note that as you go from north to south, you actually have to go on the Catella Bridge to continue south towards Hainan Beach. And so they wanted to alleviate that issue. And they also wanted us to connect this space. There is a gap between here and the Anaheim Coast. They wanted us to do so. So again, important to this body is, you know, you own land north of Ball Road, but of course, we would want to partner with you to get water and operate those water impoundments. Very quickly, like I heard you in your prior discussion, we took a pause and figure out, well, what does it cost to do something like this? You know, and so I direct your attention to the top of the right top of the corner here. We have a big range, you know, it's a big investment, and certainly the city does not have that funding in place. And so we did what we most agencies would do. We faced the project and figure out what do we have money, what can we get money for? And so we are working currently on what we're calling phase one. And I can even go probably go further and say phase one A and phase one B. Phase one A is River Park here at the very south end of the project. This is about a 3-acre lot that we have acquired from flood control, and that is currently fully grant funded, and as well in its way to construction documents, and we're looking to break ground next year. I have lost my arrow, so you, Bruce, just click on the screen.
Okay. What's the use on the 3 acres?
A natural park, much like you would see at Anaheim Coast, but it does also introduce a more public plaza type element. So play areas, walking paths, native landscaping, interpretation, exercise equipment, things that the community has asked us to put in place. A sort of a stop for the regional bike trail, a break, get, you know, fill up your water bottle, gathering point.
Is that adjacent to the river?
It is here, very adjacent to the river. The river, it used to be a county, county sort of open lot. It is wedged in between the Angel Stadium and the river at the bottom here.
So it abuts the river.
Abuts the river, yes.
That where all those encampments were?
Correct. That is exactly it, sir. Yes. And so, and then phase 1B is just design, construction, partial construction documents, environmental and permit applications for the impoundments, the bridge, and then the trail connection and the river walk components on the west side of the Santa Ana River. As I mentioned.
So most of your initial phasing is within the proximity of the City Vibe?
The OC Vibe, yes.
The OC Vibe project.
So the OC Vibe, correct, sir. The OC Vibe project is generally north of Arctic, that I'm showing here on the screen,
right.
And it goes all the way to Cerritos. Our project does, our first phase does encompass that, but it also goes beyond north of Cerritos all the way to Ball Road, and then south of Arctic all the way to Orangewood. So it, the abutment to OC Vibe is approximately, I would say, about a third.
But the commercial part of OC Vibe is just adjacent to Catella, off Catella, where the pond is, right? That's the commercial
part of OC Vibe. So it's mostly gathered around the Honda Center, the existing Honda Center.
They call it the pond, sorry.
The pond, Arrowhead Pond, right? North of that, they're proposing some residential. And then south of Catella, we're actually, there's a public park called Meadow Park and a hotel.
Okay, thank you,
Jason. Moving forward, you know, now that we know what the master plan is, we have a vision from our community. We have general support from our operating partners. We've continued the search for funding to design this space and then ultimately to implement this space. And also, continue our due diligence to really understand, you know, what are the utilities, what is it going to take, what are the regulatory permits, you know, things like our agencies like Army Corps of Engineers and so on and so forth.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, did you get money from the Rivers and Mountains Conservancy?
We received money from Rivers and Mountains Conservancy for...
I didn't see that on there.
That's yeah, fine. We received funding for, sir.
I sit on it. I remember giving it, so I want to make sure you got it.
Yeah.
I didn't make a call.
Yeah. So. Okay, well, let's pause the meeting and get a call going. But I will share with you that we have received funding for phase 1A from the Rivers and Mountains Conservancy. We have $750,000 to develop the 3-acre park.
Yeah.
And we are in conversations with them about this upcoming funding cycle. Yeah, through Prop 4, correct.
Go get it. So we can,
we are.
We can give more out to you.
Can you go back to the funding partners?
Yes.
Great.
So specifically for the OC Riverwalk 1B, this is the design funding that we have. We have some money from the federal government, also from Coastal Conservancy, and also from Caltrans.
I thought Lou Career wrote you a personal check. His name is so big, I didn't.
That would be nice, correct?
The federal, we all gave you money. The federal government gave you money.
Correct.
Thank you.
Yes. I guess indirectly all of us participated to the federal fund, correct? And I just a quick reminder here. So just shy of $10 million towards design, construction documents, environmental. But for overall construction project, just for phase one, is north of $100 million. So we will be looking at Rivers and Mountains Conservancy. Moving forward. So with that funding, and since we last met, we've been focusing on the partial construction documents. Here I'm just showing you a section of those documents, a sample that connect to the Anaheim Cove Trail. We also have then construction documents for the rest of those items, including the impoundments, are just coming behind. And where we've been spending a lot of time, it's on environmental. As this group knows, and anyone involved in development, environmental is a critical path item to get, you know, full construction documents, to get any sort of agreements in place. And then ultimately, of course, to develop the site. You can't do it without it. And to secure any implementation money, including from our partners that are Rivers and Mountains Conservancy, environmental is important. As it's shown on this screen, we are looking to complete and have our council certify the environment, the EIR for this project later this year. And these arrows are letting, oh, here we go. Put it back again. In December. And so tail end of this year, we are going to have full environmental completed for this project. So what is next? There are a lot of moving parts, but of particular interest to this body is, we're requesting your continuous support to work with staff in completing that environmental that I've shown you in that schedule, but also some sort of very simple MOU. In our last conversation, we talked about, and we have discussed with this committee, some sort of co-op agreement, something that will memorialize on how to move the project forward. And frankly, at this point, I want to share one more time with you that we just don't have all the details now to get into a very detailed operations agreement or license agreement similar to what we have at Anaheim Coast. But at Anaheim Coast, we did start with this simple, simple MOU that essentially said, you know, agencies have the desire to move forward and implement this project as shown on that master plan we created an exhibit. It's very non-binding, but it gave us the opportunity to continue to work with your staff to have them guide us as to the utilities and access that you need out there, and then to come back to you with a proposal of, you know, any land rights that we need from you, any easements, but also any, once constructed, you know, the operations, the maintenance requirements or responsibilities. And so today I want to reiterate that that is what we're looking after, and that's with your support and with continued support, we would work with your staff to get that accomplished. And again, a non-binding document that just sort of lays out our desires to continue to move forward and then to come back to you when we have the additional details. That took me to the next presentation.
You're good. You just come.
And then I'm actually available for any detail or specific questions that you need.
Questions?
Mr. Chairman, if I may.
Of course.
I'm going to really tread lightly because we have a person that's in this room that sits on the governing board of the city of Anaheim. So I'm not going to, I'm going to be really careful not to step on her shoes. But I was curious. I was really positive on the greenery stuff, the trail stuff. I think it's great. It's great for the county, great for the city. But I saw that on your map, a lot of the parcels are owned by UP. Mm-hmm. They're really well known not for giving any of that land up, either for sale or otherwise. How are you going to traverse some of that? Is there a plan that you have internally to reach out to them? Because a lot of the beyond the trail and greenery part, you have the Riverwalk, where you have commerce happening, perhaps, right? And if you have a comparative to San Antonio Riverwalk, that works because there's ample consumer infrastructure there, restaurants, shopping, and more importantly, there's housing that the folks that live in that high-density housing, they utilize the Riverwalk to, you know, get outside. So I'm curious because when I know of the area, I'm adjacent to it, there's not much housing at all around there. There's a lot of industry stuff or industrial stuff. So I'm curious, is there the UP, is that a factor for you? And secondly, how are you going to get around the kind of infrastructure things that are necessary for that to be viable, I suppose?
No problem. I'll start with the UP factor first. I want to share with this committee that not just UP, obviously Army Corps of Engineers and everyone else, but UP has a commercial line here. I'm showing you on my screen. And then, you know, of course, there's Metrolink here all the way at the bottom as well. They have access rights, easements to them. And along with all other regulatory agencies, they have preliminary applications from us for this project. At the staff level, they are supportive. But of course, you have to go through all their regulatory process. You know, it takes time. It takes year. It takes clarification. It for UP specifically is on the north side is getting access to do an undercrossing. That's all it takes. On the Metrolink line, there's already an undercrossing there, so just adjusting that. Related to your comparison at San Antonio, which I brought up in commerce, if you're not super familiar with OCBI. OCBI will bring the commerce. It also includes the residential component. OCBI, just north of the Honda Center or Arrowhead Pond, is proposing up to at least 5,000 units, and they have development intensity approvals for much more than that. And so the from our perspective, the private sector, it's already doing its part.
Sure.
You know, just west of this, the Platinum Triangle in the city of Anaheim continues to develop and is almost fully developed. There on the east side, city of Orange is working on their own redevelopment plans to bring up and potentially redevelop some of those industrial uses that you mentioned. There's obviously a new hotel here at the corner that just happened. The City of Orange actually is working with the county, and they become a very key partner to develop this space, this park space on the east side. So lots of opportunities, lots working together. There's certainly, with the current OC5, $4 billion-plus development proposal, there's residents coming, lots of different visitors coming as well. That when we complete our project, the goal is that they would maybe stay at one of these hotels. Maybe they're there for a conference in the morning. They go on the river walk, grab their coffee, you know, sort of review their presentation last minute, get down to the water, get that energy vibe, and then get back in and do what they need to do. Or someone might take the train, you know, get up at Arctic, visit the area, and then get back up on the line. Did that answer your question, sir?
Superbly. Thank you.
I don't understand. Is the UP situation, Union Pacific situation, that they're going to run a heavy locomotive and freight trains, or is it that they have easements on land that you want to put part of this project on? What's the conflict?
UP already has a rail line.
I understand that, but what's the conflict?
There is none. We're trying to do an undercrossing under their existing line,
okay.
Expand that. There's currently just a maintenance road, and so putting people underneath.
Oh, the one that goes to Douglas?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You want to widen it, or...?
We want to put people under the railroad. All you have right now is vehicles, maintenance vehicles. And so just ensuring that
that's what it is.
It is a road.
That's what it was designed for. So what do you want to add to it?
Again, with the connectivity of a trail to Anaheim Copes, it's having the pedestrian and public component.
So I noticed you want to add a trail that you want to add you want to widen the area so that you can put a multi-purpose trail.
Correct.
in addition to the road.
Correct.
And the sidewalk. Okay, I understand that.
How come there's
I didn't get that from them. Thank you.
How come there's no water feature where the residential go?
that question has been asked multiple times, and there's certainly a desire from the developer for there to be one. At this point, it's just money. I think one can be proposed there as well, and obviously we would, again, need to work with the water district to figure out where is all this water coming from, how much capacity is there. You know, there is a need for a turnout structure and other things that need to be worked out. But there's certainly a desire from the development community and from the residents to have a third impoundment as there.
How does that work for us? So we're storing the water there, and then does it get into the groundwater basin there, or do we move it somewhere else? And what water is being used to create the two water features?
Yeah, so on the top side, the west side, we have our groundwater replenishment system pipeline coming from Fountain Valley to Anaheim.
That's what fills it.
That's what we would tap into, and we would discharge the water into the river, and it would perk.
Yeah,
it would recharge down. So
we would add enough to keep it at that level, and it's doing its percolation well at the same time.
Yes,
it perks at a moderate at best rate,
but enough. We have enough going into it that it'll continuously keep that feature and won't decline ever.
Right.
Oh, we have. Well, we could put a lot of water in there if we wanted. We'll put just enough to keep a lake of
right. But there's a certain management that has to be done, right?
Yes.
Like so if that's on us to make sure that it's always that, or is that what the MOU?
Yeah, we would do that. So the pipeline handles 100 MGD. That's a lot of water going up to Anaheim. But maybe we would discharge 15 MGD into there to get this.
So, and part of the questions are, and I think we have some answers, where does when it percolates, where's the nearest water production well that would be served by that percolation, or where's the what? Which is the water going to nowhere where folks are using it, or is it? You know, those are part of the questions.
Yeah, it's reclaimed water, and the regional board requires that we place monitoring wells in the area so that we can track where it's going and what's the first production well it'd be hit, and there's adequate travel time before it would hit that production well.
I think in like Tempe. There's the Salt River does something similar to this.
Yes.
So when will we? Because we had a draft agreement put together. What's the delay in finishing it? In
some of the questions or the information that was being requested of the city to include, or the details that we were being requested to include into that agreement, we don't have the information yet for us to be able to commit to that. We will have that once we our first immediate goal is to finish environmental, then to continue on with the construction documents to get those answers that we're able to come back to you with a detailed license agreement, operations agreement, and it'll likely take a few different documents, including license and maintenance and operations to get there. I think it is going to.
Are you licensing us, or are we licensing you?
It depends on what we're doing. I think maybe it might be reciprocal. It could be. It could likely be achieved through the same document.
The district's. I mean, I don't want to say position. I don't know if we actually voted on it yet, but I'll say position is to operate the recreational facilities like we do in many other of our venues. Does the city come around to support that, or what's their position?
This body has asked me that question before, and the way that I answer is that we would, at the staff level, we have talked about the district owning and operating the facility for water purposes, what was just asked of John. And in terms of recreation, whether the city operated that component or the water district, I think either agency would hire a third party. Neither of us is in the business of doing water recreation. And so in collaboration, we will look at a beneficial third-party operator to do so.
When can you bring us that information? If I don't, whatever it looks like, that detail can get worked out sooner versus later. Because if we're continuing to be brought more and more into a project where it's represented to the public and to granting agencies that we're involved in, we haven't committed yet legally or officially yet, we could stop. I'm uncomfortable. We haven't what we call papered this, because you're using that beautiful water to sell your project, and it's, it's not tied down. You don't have that secured yet. So
the city can commit to bringing a draft simple MOU like I described to your next property committee. I think if you I can work with John and Bruce to get something
better. It's not binding. We want binding.
Right. It is not. At this point, we do not have the details to go into a binding document. I believe that, if you were to ask your staff, they can concur that the details are just not there.
What details aren't there?
Things like, what would it take? How much cost? How much staff? How much manpower? How much utilities would it take to own and operate? Or are you specifically asking about the recreational component?
Both. But I mean, if we don't know, you don't always know everything in the end, but you have a process to get there. Because again, if I was you, I wouldn't. Something as important as this, I think it's really, really, really important to the project. I think it's much more important than it's being represented. To be next to a 10 or 15 acre beautiful lakes.
Okay.
That's like a $5 million an acre type amenity. That's amazing. So I think we should tie this thing down sooner so we all know we don't go in this thing thinking something that may not be the case at the end of the day. And we can figure out who manages what, but we know we have the foundation set. I'm one of 10. That's my belief. So I think we should continue to direct that.
So are you saying you would not support a generic agreement just to continue to work together on design?
I'm concerned that we're representing to the public that they have this beautiful clear water secured and they don't. And so it's like we're letting something be put out there that's not correct. I think we need to tie down our agreement. A generic MOU isn't worth, I mean, it's nice and everything, but it's not sufficient enough for me, because we've been at this for years. I mean, it's been 3-4 years that we've been at this, and we need to bring this thing down so we can really understand the process.
So, I mean, the intent of this project is to connect the public to the river. It is going to be open to the public. It is not going to be fenced off like where the guy has the slides and nobody can see the water. This is connecting the public with the river and turning our face to the river. So if your concern is who gets to permit somebody from putting their toe in the water, I guess that's one discussion. But if you, in your mind, are going to put up a wall around this and say nobody comes and engages with this water, until they pay OCWD a fee, that doesn't work. I mean, it's just not the intent of the project. So can you expand on that a little bit?
I disagree with you 100%. If it wasn't a commercial project here, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
We absolutely would not.
It's self-evident the value that we're bringing to this project, and I feel insulted that we haven't had any specificity. I'm really beginning to be troubled inside. Like, it's really important. I mean, I think it is, and I don't know if you'll admit that or not. I believe it is that why you haven't tied us down and gotten a contract, and so why it keeps getting put off and put off and put off, because we know we can contract on and implement that. So I'm beginning to have questions about why the city doesn't want to have this issue tied down. You want to tie down the railroad to get your trail, yet you try to tie that down, but you're not tying us down.
And sir, I believe that the best answer I can give you is the reason I started with Anaheim Coast as an example is, as Vice Chair mentioned, it is a public open park. The city does not charge any money for anyone to use it at any point.
Exactly. This is a $4 billion operation.
We also don't make any money off of that, right? So our purview, our role is to provide recreational space, to open up the land for public use. It is not for us to make, as an agency, we are not here to make money. And so that is the goal of this project, a big open park for the public to use. Of course, they will cost money to operate. To answer your question, is we just don't have the details of how much water, how much manpower. Of course, we have an idea. We've been talking with your staff. It's going to take a person or two to operate the lake. It's going to take a truck. It's going to take electricity. It's going to take this and that. We just don't have those values to be able to have a very detailed agreement in front of you that will say, yes, the city is going to offset X amount of the operating budget of the water district to do so.
I think you're being disingenuous.
I
think this is being disingenuous to the Orange County Water District. I think not you, you being the city, not you personally, is being disingenuous to the Orange County Water District. Tell me that we don't have enough place to do that, that's just wrong. It's just incorrect.
I'm sharing with you that with all transparency that we don't have all the details of what it would take to operate this facility, nor do we have full construction documents to understand the size of
We don't need full construction documents that's do you have your trail? Do you have construction documents for the trail you're trying to seek from Union Pacific?
We made a
Do you have the yes or no?
No.
Thank you. But you're still trying to get a dealer done with them. So I feel deflected and put off. Any other questions?
Director Yeo has his hand raised.
I have. Director Yeo has his hand
raised.
Now that you can run it.
Okay.
Chair Sheldon?
Yeah.
Director Yeo has his hand raised.
Yeah, now he's in charge.
All right, Director Yeo, go ahead.
All right, thank you, Chair Sheldon. I got a question. On this slide here, it shows that they're in the upper left corner. They look like stormwater treatment devices. It seems like there's some green spaces. And then, you know, this development is going to have a lot of impervious acreage. Are you contemplating installing some stormwater treatment devices similar to, you know, what the city has accomplished in the past? You know, you spend your time and resources developing like regional water treatment kind of devices, and you sell the treatment credit to developers. Are you thinking about doing something similar here? And if so, have you engaged Caltrans in potentially getting some construction grants for the stormwater treatment devices? Thank you.
Thank you for the question. I can share with you that any public project that gets improved today or gets permitted is required to comply with all water management regulations, including capture and retention, treating on site. There is just not enough land within this stretch to do anything of like what you described, you know, big areas to capture water and sell off credits for potential mitigation to developers. There's just not that much space. In terms of the impervious surface that you mentioned, the area, you know, the embankments already have the riprap, the trail already has the asphalt that are impervious. At the end of this project, I do not envision adding much more than what's already there in terms of just impervious surface.
Okay. Thank you. And in one of your, one of the slides shows that Caltrans is one of the partners, and I imagine that is related to traffic mitigation. But, you know, if you are unaware of opportunities, you know, maybe you can bring it up in your future discussions with Caltrans, that whether there is any opportunities for the city to engage Caltrans and potentially receiving some grant money for co-implementing some type of stormwater treatment devices that are beneficial to both agencies. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Madam Vice Chair, if I may, this is an action item. It's just an information item. I appreciate the update very much so, but I, you know, even you'd agree this isn't ready for prime time yet. So I think if we can move on.
I mean, yeah, we'll move on, but the city would like to get from OCWD is just an agreement to cooperate in developing the design, further developing the design so that we can finish our environmental and know what those operational pieces are that we need to include in that document.
Administratively, is that even necessary for us? Can we just not be good neighbors and good partners and just do that anyway?
Well, we have been doing that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But it would give the city a little more certainty if we were to have an overall MOU saying we were exceptionally good with the project. And wise, we don't see any fatal flaws, but
just trying to help our dear chairman here.
Yeah.
What is that OC Flood District and OCWD's difference on this? Do we have the Flood Control District for the county versus OCWD's land? Is there any part of that that's theirs versus ours?
That's actually all flood control.
It's all flood control.
It's all flood control.
Our property starts
where there is no water.
Starts at the railroad tracks and goes south. North, right?
Yeah.
North.
Yeah.
But I think last May we gave you an MOU, a draft that was very scaled down from an original one, I think, that we had provided earlier in the year last year. Some of the sticking points were things like who's responsible for the costs of like the turnout structure, but very, very generalized things like that. And so I think that's where it's
Herb shop then for that part, the flood control.
Yeah,
Herb,
that's
Herb Nakathomi.
Yeah.
And some of the sticking points I think from the Anaheim side was that those things were in there obligating us to pay for things that weren't really fleshed out enough to give an estimate. So it was like, okay, we're signing this blank check if we agree to do this without pulling that design further and having those estimates on what those costs are so that we can have some protection against a blank check, you know, and be able to budget for those things.
I mean, does the board and staff see it worthy that we seek that MOU down the line after things have been beyond conceptualized, but rather there's some hard numbers that the board can look at?
Sure. But we've told the city, okay, we'll operate these inflatable dams, but you pay for it. And they want to know, well, what are they obligating themselves to? These inflatable dams could be $10 million easy each.
Just a thought so we can.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, there's no action right now. So we will move on. All right.
Thank you,
thanks, JJ.
All right, now yours. After two teasers, you're up.
Two teasers, my turn.
We've seen this.
You've seen this. I should give you a little bit of a repeat. I wanted to bring back an update to the committee of some recent updates in the last generally 6 weeks since our last March update. We've seen the map before. I just kind of wanted to share with you guys. Right now, what we're working through is kind of finalizing the process of remediation. And so we, last meeting, we brought back some information related to the new volumetric estimates for this quantity of soils that need remediation. Those have been roughed out now, and this is the new CAMU location and new CAMU size, which is roughly 1.8 acres. It should, we're working on the specifics right now, but it should be able to handle roughly 38,000 cubic yards of material. As far as this process goes, all the area it's in the pink needs to be remediated and will ultimately be placed in this CAMU. This CAMU is going to be dug out. So it's, the first step is going to be dig a hole here and to put the clean material, once we get past the contaminated material, into a pile in this location over here. We are working to kind of finalize this location to minimize impacts to the nearby residents to help us work with CEQA, et cetera. So this is what's been identified. Once this hole has been dug, it will be lined. Material will be scraped from this area, moved over to this processing area where the lead shot will be removed, and then ultimately all remaining soils will be put back into this CAMU. And when the project is completed, this will be another layer of HDPE. It'll be sealed shut like a Ziploc bag, and it'll be covered with a portion of the clean material here. For the duration of the actual remediation that's going to be occurring, the tenants from this property will not be allowed to be on site. We met with DTSC in April, and then we go to the next slide. I just want to provide a high-level schedule for what we talked with DTSC about. But taking this from where we are today, we're getting towards the end of the remedial action plan design and the end of the draft CEQA document. That will be going through a process with DTSC, including the public participation part of this. We're targeting to have this done by roughly the end of the year, and then we'll go through our process to be approved, find a construction company to do the project, and ultimately the remediation is scheduled to occur next July after bird nesting season occurs, and ultimately, once complete, we'll have final documents and long-term O&M and land use controls for just the area shown in the CAMU. That's how we're working through that project right now, but we just wanted to provide a high-level schedule to the committee.
Can you go back to one slide to the aerial?
Absolutely.
No, not that one.
Again.
Yeah.
Once I get used to this, okay. I like this process.
So, and you point to where those trailer homes are, right? Those two.
I believe this is
not that one. Or is that one?
I believe this is a trailer home, and I believe this is
where the kennels are. So there's a caretaker or caretakers on the property. That land is leased to Micro Hawk Shooting Enterprises. That's under the what we used to call the pheasant lease, but they don't shoot out there anymore. So they've got kennels out there. So during that period of time, those caretakers need to be off the premises. So we're going to have to start talking to Pat Rahog about having those folks off of that property during the about 6 month,
roughly
6 month process next year.
They don't have like renters state rights that say we have to pay for them to.
So the lease to Rahagi stipulates that they can't sublease. They likely have a business agreement with them for the kennels and to be caretakers on the site. It's possible we could run into a renter's issue. I don't know. But we have to talk to Pat Rahog first about it.
And then there's a slope there, right? Like, so the residents that they're above the site, is that how that looked?
It's hard to see in this image here, but these contours in the white are part of the elevation. This is... blue line is the 566 line, and generally it does increase in elevation as we move this direction. But once we get up to where these buildings are, it's generally a lot flatter. The real steep portion of this is going to be coming off.
So will there be any dust impacts to these homes that live here or any type of
things
that
we
is
might
one of the
cause
reasons.
trouble.
So we're working through that right now as we speak, and that's one of the reasons why this clean fill location is where it is we're trying to keep that as far as we can away from those homes to minimize dust and other
it's windy or something, if the movement of that soils will.
Yeah, we're working as hard as we can to minimize impacts on the nearby residents and community. So we've definitely been done a lot of energy trying to make sure this is as least impactful as possible.
At least we have a water source nearby with it. Spray it down.
Yes. I conclude my report. I'll come to answer any additional questions.
Any questions online or anything?
No.
Question here? Okay.
Bear patience.
So the next item is the quarterly report on leases and permits. Shall we move on with that, Chair?
Yes, please.
I'll pass it on to property manager.
Bruce, in the interest of time, it's a pretty simple quarterly report, so I could answer the questions should there be any, but...
But it's in the packet.
Yeah,
it's
in the packet.
There you go.
It's
in the packet.
There you go.
All right. There you go. All right. Any questions for the information that's in the packet? All right. Are there any items here that we need to put on the agenda?
Or not?
I don't think so. Are there any director's comments? I will say that I was here when we did the Anaheim Coves. I negotiated that with Kurt Pringle with President Bilodeau. And we have asked on this item for many years related to this project that we had previously. And we were told that, I believe we were told that at one point it was as acceptable, and then we were retold that it was not acceptable. The city asked for, they wanted an agreement so they could have known that this was going on, and now they don't want an agreement. We have Islands Golf, where the operator there is putting thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars into the operation, lots of money. And if the city controls this operation that they're proposing and decides they want to do golf, they could put him out of business. We have other uses that we operate. So I think we have a big reason to be concerned, just out of our own due diligence with those that rely upon us. So those are the reasons. And I, again, I don't understand this approach, and it's different. So those are my comments. Are there any general manager comments?
No comments.
We'll adjourn the meeting. Thank you.